It's coming down. It's coming. Yeah, it's coming down. It's a yeah, we're having a new experience tonight. We're going to lay on our backs and look up. Amen. It's like a planetarium. That's all I was going to say. Brother, you can pass these out. Still, we're still working on trials. Just pass out one to everybody. Just one piece, one stapled piece to everybody. How about that? I'll staple them together tonight. I'm getting better. Still having problems eating, but I'm getting better. They want me to go to a GI doctor, but I'm kind of disgusted with all the doctors, and so I'm actually just kind of thinking of following the third doctor's instructions, let God heal me. Because so far, I've run up several thousand dollars worth of stuff, and they still haven't fixed anything. The only thing they did, effectively was get the blisters out of my throat. That's it. The rest of it has been wait and see. And so, No, ma'am. Can't keep it. Well, I can keep it down as long as I don't overdo it. And I got to watch what I eat. So I don't get anything really spicy. And believe it or not, one of the best things that I've been able to eat was pizza and spaghetti. So Pizza Inn's been happy to see me. Just slides right down. That's right. And my wife used to get on me because my deceased wife used to get on me because I taught my boys how to take the spaghetti down and bring it back up and other ways. And then when I started dating Linda, I taught her son, and she said it's a big skill that you like to teach, but I'd rather you would. Oh, yeah. That's good stuff. Well, the final doctor I went to is not an MD. She's an OD. OD, DO. Whatever it is, doctor osteopathic medicine. And so she does natural medicine too. And so she's the one that actually did more testing, and she said that she told me I had when they did the sonogram on my chest and belly, they said I had a cyst on my liver and I had an inflamed stomach. And so I took some medicine and it actually helped. She, after 3 days of taking it, she said, I want to go ahead and send you to the GI. I said, I thought you said you're going to give it a chance to work. She said, well, let's go ahead and do it now. I said, let's wait. So she was eager. I think she was eager to pass me on. That's right. Well, she was trying to get me out of her hands, I think, because every doctor's passed me on. Well, Dr. Jesus hadn't passed me on. He's been right here. That's right. God of trials. Now, coming up shortly, and we're gonna build it up good. Coming up shortly, we're gonna talk about the difference in how men and women communicate. I've been holding that one off, but maybe do that on a Sunday night. I don't know, but it's going to be how the difference in men and women communicating. And once you understand this, it'll help you communicate with your spouse so much better. When you realize, I mean, it's almost like there's more than just physical features difference in a man and woman. There is so much difference. And there's a lot of differences, and so we're gonna go over that shortly. God of trials, of course, we still got a few that we just been going through every time. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the painful trial that you're suffering, as though something strange was happening to you. How many times have you said, "Lord, this is weird. Why am I having to go through this? Why is this thing happening to me?" And I've done it. Why, Lord? You know. Even now, when I'm thinking, Lord, it's time that everything should be changed and ready and up and running, and it's not. So I'm still thanking him, but I have asked him a couple of times. What's the purpose of trials? Of course, it's to prove the quality or worth of somebody or someone. It's a test of your faith, patience, and your endurance. And remember, your endurance is more than just going through it. It's how you go through it. It's your attitude. And know this, that the faith that has not been trusted cannot be tested, cannot be trusted. And trials, this is what we just came through 2 weeks of. Trials will never leave you the same. You'll become bitter or better. Now here we're going. Here's the causes of trials. Now we kind of touched on this a little bit about 4 weeks ago. Just touched on it, but I want you. Now we're going to dig down deep. I have people all the time ask me why do we have to go through things? Why is it that we you know, my mother-in-law said that she could not believe. After we got saved, my wife and I got saved. My mother said she could not believe it. She said it was like there was a trial every time we turned around. You know, and she said she couldn't understand it. And to start with, it made her, I think it kind of turned her away from God. But as she started watching God answer every trial, it turned her to God. And she wound up getting saved because of it. Contrary to popular belief, God does allow trials in our life. I was watching a famous, TV preacher, and they got up and they actually said that the trials of life was just staying up at night and having to pray. That was the trials. That was the test. Could you stay up all night and pray about things? Because you don't have a problem. You don't have a problem with things. You have a problem with your faith. How many's ever heard people on TV say your problem is your problem with your faith? I've heard it. Really, one thing that really upset me one night was I watched Creflo Dollar, and he got up and he talked about, here's what he was preaching. The whole time he preached, he'd stop and he'd go, money, 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 money. He did it. He kept going, money, 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 money. And he talked about how God wanted us rich and how God wanted us driving fancy cars and all this stuff. Well, as he was doing that, at the end of the show, he got up and said, I've got a special thing I need to talk to y'all about. We're coming up several $1 million short on our program. And I need y'all to send me like $4 million, you know, quickly so our program can stay on the air. And I said, he just got through talking about money, 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 and we weren't going to have any problems. Then he gets up and says, we're having a money problem after you said you wouldn't. And Fox News showed him about 2 weeks ago. Because he wants people to give him $60 million because he needs a new airplane. And if he had a new airplane, he could do better. And so he wants $60 million, and they said that he'll have it soon. All these hungry people around here, all these churches that are hurting. And I'm sorry, maybe I'm not saying what God told him. I don't know. It's none of my business. But I just don't see God telling him to tell us we need $60 million. Y'all give me $60 million for my airplane when there's a lot of people out here needing help. You know what I'm saying? So here, what popular movement today is name it and claim it.
This is a minister I've been listening to. You know, off and on, I didn't listen to him regularly. He really got into it that night. After that, I thought.
Yeah.
That lady in Rocky Mountain never met my mother. My mother was dead. Why I left. I was talking to her about my mother's trials and tribulations one night. She's gone through. She said, well, obviously, her faith was not very strong. And I look right at this lady. I said, well, how long have you been trying to get your mother? How many times did the Apostle Paul ask for his thorn in the flesh to be taken away?
Yeah.
Paul not having faith.
Yeah.
Mammon had nothing to do with my boy.
That makes me upset some kind of fierce when I watch y'all go through things and I go through things and I see faith stand as you stand the test of 40 days in the hospital. And see y'all go through operations, see y'all go through things on your job and things, and faith is keeping you. God's lifting you up, and you're lifting up others. And then somebody come along had the nerve to say, Your faith isn't strong. You know, like I said, there's times where I want to give them the right hand of fellowship.
My mother died. She couldn't walk. When I was a little boy, I heard her tell my daddy, he said, "I'm going to wear my knees out praying."
Wow. That's right. That's right. That's good. See.
And when he died, he was a devil.
That's awesome. What I've heard this too, what the mind can conceive, you can achieve. And even financial success becomes a bonus if you just believe. Now remember, let me finish this now. God wants us blessed. God don't want us walking around being a bunch of paupers. God wants us blessed. He wants his house to operate. But we're blessed to be a blessing. Okay? We're blessed not to be a noun. Blessed. We're blessed to be a verb. Blessing. God blesses us so we can bless others. And if we bless others, God will keep right on. And what I discovered is, no matter what size shovel I use to bless others, God uses a bigger shovel to bless me back. Okay? But again, that's a whole different attitude. If I'm just going, gimme, 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 hey God, my name is Jimmy, gimme, 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 then I got the wrong attitude. But if it's, I hear people, I've heard several people just this week, one person was trying to do better on their job, and I said, that's awesome, you need to be doing better on a job. And then the person said, well, you know what I discovered? The more I'm blessed on my job, the more I can bless others. Now that's the attitude. That's the attitude. And so, it said that this new age belief is not biblical, as you can see from the whole counsel of God's word. And I'm going to read this. Of course, I just put the final part there. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and the many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. Well, let me read from verse 3. If any man teaches otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, not knowing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil surmisings. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdrawal, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and we can certain carry nothing out. I've never seen a hearse carrying a U-Haul behind it, ever. And you remember you heard a joke about the guy dying, and St. Peter says, you're getting ready to go, you better get ready. He said, can I bring something with me? He says, you don't need to. He said, well, I need to bring at least one, can I bring one suitcase with me? He said, okay, and he put all his gold in it. And when he got to heaven, they said, what is it? And he looked and says, oh, you brought pavement. Well, all of these things have some validity to it. They've all got some validity to it, or it wouldn't be so popular. It's got some validity. And God, like I said, it's not name it and claim it, but if you can get it in your mind and get lined up with God, what God wants, and you get lined up with him, you can see mountains move. He said mountains would move. To be cast into the sea, plucked up and cast into the sea. And so that's some powerful stuff. And what the mind can conceive, you can achieve. Well, what it is what you believe with God and faith in God, then you and God together. So there's validity to all this stuff, but if you take it out of context, I remember one time I was at Procter & Gamble and they had this class coming up called Wizard. Wanted you to be wizards. And so my boss man's wife, she said, you don't need to go to this because they're going to teach you a bunch of sorry mess. It's not godly. And so he said, I know what I'll do. I'll carry David with me. He'll sit right beside me, and if something's wrong, he'll tell me. And so I wound up going to class with him, and it was a whole week. And what they were doing is they were teaching biblical principles, just left God out. And so I told him the whole week, I said, these are all biblical principles. I said, if you follow him, something good's going to happen. But he's leaving God out. He's making it humanistic. And so, again, if what you sow, you're going to reap. Honestly, what you sow, you're going to reap. If you sow cheerfulness and understanding and godliness, you're going to reap cheerfulness and understanding and godliness. If you sow a sour spirit, a bad mouth, you're going to get it right back. That stuff really, really does work. Okay? So it says, but all that man of God, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, when I first got saved, I thought it said money was the root of all evil. Money is not the root of all evil. We need money to survive. And again, when God blesses us, many times he blesses us with money. It may be with health, it may be with something, but if you're going to keep your bills up paid, he's going to have to bless you with money. It's not money is the root of all. It's the love of it. It's called Aravis. That's what got Judas. Judas had Aravis in his life. He wanted. Matter of fact, it said he pilfered out of the bag. He was the treasurer, and he pilfered out of the bag. There's one for Jesus, and one for the disciples, and one for me. You know, and so, and it said he was a thief. But again, it's Aravis. That same thing. So, while some coveted after, thou have erred from the faith and pierced himself through with many sorrows. So again, and thou, O man of God, flee these things, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Now, I'm not saying that we've got to do like the Catholic priest and take a vow of poverty. Okay? That's not what I'm saying. God wants to bless you. God does not want you walking around having to, you can't even make ends meet. You can't help anybody. All you're doing is, you know, you're not a conduit of blessings. God wants you to be a conduit of blessings. But again, it's got to do with attitude. Does it own you or do you own it? Is God blessing you so you can bless others? Is that what you're thinking? Or you're thinking, well, if he does this, I can get even more and more and more. And you can tell people. It's kind of like a little child. You know, when my grandbaby started getting a little bit bigger, they go, mine. Mine. And now with it was really cute. Sunday we went to Andy's. And while we're at Andy's, first Emmy got up and started dancing. Me and Emmy were dancing. Then here comes a running Anna Lane. And so it's me and Anna Lane and Emmy dancing. And then here comes Elizabeth. Yeah, oh, you missed it. Then Elizabeth came up. Yeah, we were up dancing all around, and then Emmy got in the middle. We were danced all around her. We were having a ball. And then they said, who wants ice cream? And next thing I know, there was no dancing. At the bar, it was lined up. There was Emmy and Anna Lane and Elizabeth and Dylan and who else? Oh, and it was Michelle and it was Linda. They were all lined up. All out of getting ice cream. But again, I you know, we can do something with them. I can hand them something, even Sunday. I handed them once, well, I can't remember which one I handed something to, and they went, mine. It just came out of my hand. I just gave it to them. And, mine. Okay. Well, you know what? That's cute most of the time, but you try to teach them different. But it's not cute when they're 17, 18, 19, 20, 30, 40, 50. Mine. Okay, so here we go. Causes of trials. First, it's a call to commitment. God calls you to endure the pain of unjust suffering because of your commitment to follow Christ. While the scripture is clear that every authentic Christian experiences the Lord's provision, to follow in his footsteps means you must also be called to suffer. And I want you to read this here. It says, for it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? You steal something, they beat you. Hey, you got what you asked for. But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you recall because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Now, if you look at the book of Peter, he's talking to people that are going through a lot of persecution. Nero hated the Christians. The Christians were under so much persecution. Nero wanted a field and this place beside the palace that had land and it had houses. He wanted it for himself. So he set it on fire and blamed the Christians. And because he did that, you've heard it said Nero fiddled while Rome burnt. They said he got up and fiddled. He started the fire, but afterwards the road to Rome was lined with crosses where all these Christians were crucified because they were accused of burning down Rome. And it's during this time that Peter winds up dying. And it's just some rough stuff. And so if you look in the book of 1 and 2 Peter, you'll see that they're going through something. And again, I can guarantee you, not everybody will like you.
Just thinking of that right there. Here fairly recently, we've been pulled by people who've been let out of prison. We've been there for many, many years. And the false new people.
Mm-hmm.
They should show them that verse of Scripture.
Yeah.
It was wrong, but hey.
Yeah, and they just, a guy was in there for life. It was just the last week, I think it was, and they let him out after 20 years because of DNA evidence. Oh, yeah. But I can guarantee you, it won't make up for it. Wow. No. Okay, so call to commitment. Know that when you're a child of God, there's certain people that will always give you problems and always dislike you, no matter how hard you try. They might be on your work. They may be wherever. And then there's some that don't like you, and then God's going to work it out, and they're going to like you. Everything's going to work out. But still, there's some just because of your stand for Christ. It's like when we go into prison, and I'm handing out Bible studies and handing out Bibles, and I especially when I go to some of the Muslims. Some of the Muslims will tell me, some just go, no thank you, I'm Muslim. I say, I respect that, fine. But there's some that go, don't even get close, I'm a Muslim. I don't want to have anything to do with you. And I go, no problem. And I just go ahead and walk on. And especially some of these guys that are mentally, I go to where the mentally ill guys are. And some of those guys look like the devil himself. You know, like I told you a couple weeks ago, I went and the guy had taken his stool and painted his window. And he had it on him. And when I walked up to the door, I didn't know what it was. I walked up to the door and it took my breath. And as it didn't take my breath, but as we're talking, I'm trying to talk to him. He beats on the door and like some kind of wild man. And I said, okay, enough of that. I'll just keep on going. You know, so some people, you just come upon them at the wrong time. They're just hard to get along with. Okay. Then there's a call to correction. How many here's ever messed up? How many's messed up lately? God disciplines you because He loves you. My daddy used to tell me, my mama said, I'm spanking you because I love you. And I'm thinking, no, you don't. You're spanking me because you're about to boil over and I'm your relief valve. And then I realized when I became a parent that, yeah, they did. And it hurt. And when I became a parent, when my mama said it hurts me more than it's going to hurt you, I didn't believe it. And now guess what? I believe it. Yeah, very much so. I remember Bethany, they told us because she'd been beat so bad. She was the worst abused kid in three counties. And when they showed me the film of them taking her clothes off and seeing how bad she had been beat, it made me sick at my stomach, and I started crying. And I've seen a lot of stuff from the rescue squad and in the hospital, emergency room as a chaplain. But when I saw this, it made me sick. And they told me that you don't need to correct her by spanking her because she'd been beat so bad. And so they had me so gun-shy, I didn't know what to do. And she got out of hand, way out of hand. I tried all the methods they told me. And I said, this isn't working. And so one night I carried her in. She's 5 years old. And I put her over my knee. And I said, now I've told you about 20 times. You're not listening. I said, I don't know what else to do. So I put her over my leg. And I actually hit my leg. Barely touched her. But when I did, she started bawling. I was bawling. Beverly was bawling. The boys were bawling. You know, but I found out that worked. And so again, I've multiple times put her over my leg, and actually I was the one that told her to whip him. But her, just the thought of it, you know what I'm saying, and what it did for her. But see, God, He loves us, and discipline doesn't always mean He beats us. Discipline is direction. So remember, sometimes he actually takes you to the woodshed. It really hurts. And there's other times he's just directing you, closing doors and opening others. So discipline isn't always a bad thing, okay? Well, I'll tell you what I did with DC. Well, DC used to throw fits when he couldn't get his way and his little boy. And so right there in Roses, he got in there and he fell right down on the floor and started kicking and screaming. And I didn't know what to do, so I fell right down on the floor with him and started kicking and screaming too. He looked at me and he started laughing. He didn't kick and scream anymore. Of course, I about got kicked out of the store. Okay, you're his beloved child. Although self-will moves you off course, God puts you back on course by allowing you to suffer the consequences of your sin. Did I see a hand up? Somebody just raised their hand. I'm sorry, sister. I was reading. I thought I saw a hand go up. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, of course. Real correction, not beating people to death. Yeah,
It's even hard to explain. But I mean, because.
Oh, my mama, bless her heart. The older I got, the more I would just holler for her sake. She'd be beating on me, and I'd be thinking, the worst thing to do is laugh at her. But that was bad. That was a bad thing to do. Yeah, don't laugh and don't run. But getting back to this discipline.
But see, what I'm saying is, you know, it's not that you can't
mother was a good mother. Yes, a wonderful mother. My dad was a wonderful dad, still is.
Mr. Billy, Mr. So I'm sitting here. My parents were not.
Right. Bethany's parents were not. I mean, right.
No. She was a sweetheart, but she could not do that. So, I'm sitting here learning, hearing, and I'm thinking, how am I supposed to listen to the same story? Who do I belong? I'm different. How do I take this in? Just let it go. But you're not different. I am different. I've been murdered of a life. My life is not like y'all's. You're going to
that verse right there that I said about doing for is commendable if a man or woman bears up under the pain of unjust. You went through some unjust.
You went through unjust stuff.
You went through unjust suffering. But, you know, God is
commending you because you did
that. That's right.
To go through that unjust suffering.
So he's blessed you even more. That's right. Because he was beat unjustly. To go ahead. I can't say, Kitty, I can't say that the pain will ever stop, but it's. Right. It's like this. It's like when I lost my mother and then I lost my wife. I never got over the loss of my mother. I never got over the loss of my wife. I learned how to deal with the loss of my mother, and I learned how to deal with the loss of my wife. And both of them were unique because one, I had my wife to help me when my mother died, and I had my siblings. But when my wife died, it was a whole different ball game because now my in-laws just went crazy and the kids were going crazy. And so it's two entirely different things. But I learned through this because I did some unjust suffering when my wife died. Okay. And I've been apologized to since. I've been apologized to big time since. But there was some unjust stuff done then. And as a child, there's times that because I had big ears and a big nose, you know, when I was little, I grew into them now. But I used to get picked on all the time about them big ears and them big nose, you know, and it used to hurt so bad. Man, it hurt. And people just would not stop. They wouldn't stop. They just kept on. And I wouldn't even want to go to school. Mama, please don't make me go to school because they're going to talk about my ears. They're going to talk about my nose. But again, what it did was it made me tough. And the stuff you've gone through can make you tough. And again, it'll make you tough. It will. And yeah. Because you what you do is you don't understand is diamonds, you can take a coal. And if you just take coal that's been buried in the ground, a piece of wood's been buried in the ground, it becomes coal. And you can burn it for a little while, but when it gets under a lot of pressure, I mean a lot of pressure, pushed down for many years, pressure, unbearable pressure, it becomes a diamond. Okay? And so you went through some unbearable pressure, but you got to know something. You're a diamond. You're a diamond right now. I'm a diamond. I'm a diamond with big ears and a big nose. Yeah, that'll get the big head. But you see what I'm saying? Is the stuff we went through because although man failed you, sister, God never failed you. Never. Right. And so God takes everything you went through and made you a diamond. And so the stuff that we're going through now, some of us, we didn't go through it as a child. We went through it as adults. Okay? I can guarantee everybody in here has been sucker punched. Everybody in here has been abused. Everybody in here has got a story they can tell where they had to really endure some tough stuff. Everybody. And everybody I talk to. And like Bethany, all that stuff she went through. And I remember all that stuff she went through. And I remember having to work through her with it, riding down the road. And she just started talking. And they told me, if she just starts talking, listen. And so I'd be riding down I-95. Going 70 miles an hour, and she started talking. I pull over on the side and let her talk. And I found out more things about how she'd been abused and how she was put in a closet with slid bread under the door. They were trying to potty train her. Okay? Stuff like that. And how her nose was... Y'all remember all the surgery she went through for her nose because her stepdad slammed her face in a wall. But I had to find that out through, again, when she just had a flashback and then she starts talking and we find out what's going on. But again, I went through that with Bethany. But then, you know, then I got Daniel. The stuff Daniel went through because he was smaller than everybody else. Okay?
Skinny.
Yeah, skinny and small. And people used to pick on him terribly. And, you know, but then he wound up in the law enforcement. And we got in law enforcement. I was sitting right in here one night. And my phone, I was counseling somebody. And my phone kept going off. And I said, they know better than to call me when I'm here. They know to send me a text so I can see it. And so finally I picked up the phone and they said, you need to go to the hospital, to the emergency room. We think Daniel's been shot and somebody's in intensive care and he needs you bad right now. So I told the people I prayed, got up, left, and I got to the hospital and didn't know what was going to be going on. I got to the hospital and Daniel comes walking around wearing another T-shirt. And I said, well, praise God, because the way they had it was he'd been shot in the chest. But they thought he'd been shot in the chest, but he hadn't. And the blood come from the guy that were getting down, and he weren't in intensive care. He was in the emergency room too, but that's the messages that I was getting. And then over in Afghanistan, I mean, Daniel had a dog attack him in his yard about a year ago. And when the dog attacked him in the yard, it was under his truck. And when the dog come out and bit him, Daniel said, Dad, For just a few moments, I was back in Afghanistan, back in that blown up truck turned upside down. His truck got blown up, turned upside down. Okay, so again, he's living with that stuff, and his buddy died in his arms. He's living with that stuff. Again, everybody in here, I can tell you, everybody can talk about something they've been through that's terrible, but it doesn't make us different. It makes us unique. That's what it does. I'm unique. You're unique. You're unique. We're all unique. It's like a signature. Every snowflake, all those snowflakes are all different. You'll never find two snowflakes alike. When snowflakes stick together, man, look what they can do. They can stop up a road. They can tear down a roof. They can knock over things. And so we're all unique, not different, unique. We've all got our own story to tell. And I can guarantee you, I can tell you from counseling, sitting back there, some of the stuff I've heard, that people, and I'm not just here, I'm talking about in other churches too, and just other people I counsel from other counties. Some of the stuff they tell me, honestly, the human side of me says, how in the world are they even walking and smiling because of stuff they're going through now? And so every last one of us, we got our story to tell. But again, that's what makes us unique. And God has never let us down. I sit back and I look and I watch and I listen. And so we all, every last one of us, you know, like I tell Bethany, I've told Bethany 5,000 times, don't let what you went through be a roadblock. Let it be a launching pad. And I tell her all the time, you are uniquely and wonderfully made by God. God knew that. If I could get my, even the social worker asked me after I saw them undress her and I saw her, the way she was bleeding and the way she was beat all up and all those bruises, her teeth were cracked, handprints on her face. And she said, would you go to the prison and minister to that man? And I said, yes, I would. Please let me go. And I said, let me in the room with him. And she said, why? And I told the social worker, because I will kill him. And she said, hold it, Pastor. I said, I'm a pastor, but I'm also a man. I will kill him. And she said, well, I don't think you need to go visit him. Okay? And so I tell Bethany all the time, I said, Bethany, don't let this stuff stop you. You're uniquely and wonderfully made. God knew what you were going to go through. He knew that God was going to beat you, and he knew that your mama was not going to protect you, and he knew all this stuff. But all at the same time, he had David and Beverly Linton waiting up in the stands waiting to come to your rescue. Okay? And so again, different. Totally different. So I tell her all the time, don't you? And every now and then she went to go, well, you're feeling dead. You just don't know what it's like to know what I've been through. And I'll say, girl, you better hush it up. I tell her that because I said, you better hush it up because God's blessed you. He's blessed you tremendously. But then at 10 years old, after she was finally getting straight, her mama died. And then that threw everybody in a tailspin. You know, and so again, none of us know if everybody could peel back the onion and tell our story. Wow, we would all be going, how in the world did they make it? And here's the answer, because God is on my side.
Uh-huh.
That's right. That's good. That's good.
When the days are weary and the long night dreary, I wait for
you. That's right. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
I have one. And we're all human. Things happen to us. Things hurt us. Sometimes it takes us a while to get rid of it. Sometimes we still carry it with us. We have to keep asking the Lord, you know, Lord, take this burden away. And we give it to Him and we take it back.
Mm-hmm.
We take it back. But, you know, when you finally keep giving it to Him, one day you find out, hey, I have really given it to Him. That's not bothering me anymore. And all of a sudden, the joy comes. So you have to keep, with all kinds of times,
we're getting ready to do something in a minute. I'm going to show you something that's going to be an answer to a lot of these questions you got. But it's like this. When my mama died, which was such a very tragic thing, she died a very tragic death. But when my mama died, it changed the way I ministered to people. It changed me. Okay? And then when my wife died, it changed me again. And so again, when this stuff happens to you, it changes you. Not for the bad, but for the good. And when God corrects you, it's not to beat you up and leave you on the side of the road. It's actually so that He loves you and He cares for you. It's like I tell my boys all the time. They go, they'll say something like, well, Dad, their parents didn't spank them, or their parents don't care if they stay out to 2 o'clock in the morning. And I said, well, they're not my kids. That's right. They ain't got the answer to me, and I ain't got the answer to their parents. And their hardship is discipline. God is treating you as sons, for what son is not disciplined by his father? Okay. Now, called to compassion. Here's the part. If you've gone through something, I can guarantee you, that, like Sister Kitty, all of y'all, when y'all have gone through something, let me read this first. God views suffering as the school of experience that can give you a heart of compassion for others. During times of trial, your most lasting lessons come from comfort and counsel of God. Now, praise be to God, Father of our Lord Jesus, for the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over our lives, so also Christ, our comfort overflows. Until I had ministered to you hear me tell the story so many times, I had ministered to so many people that had lost their parents. But until I lost my mama, I really didn't know how to do it. I had book sense. But once I lost my mama, now I had compassion. And once there was people in my family that were unwed mothers, all of a sudden now I've got compassion for unwed mothers. And I tell you something I really got compassion on is if I find out somebody's lost their wife, man, I just hone into them. Just find out they lost their wife, I'll be right there with them. Because I remember how bad it felt when I lost my wife, you know, and I was out at DC's work site, and he was talking about DC's a subcontractor. The contractor, his dad was out there, and he said they just lost his wife just a little while ago, and so there I was, I honed right in on him, you know, and we sat there and talked for a couple of hours, you know, and I told him, I said, you know, you might not understand it now, but you will later, maybe not ever understand it, but you'll be able to accept the comfort of God. You know, if you just hold on. That's right. That's right.
Now, I know. He said, I have compassion for you. I
Didn't have any empathy. That's right. It's like this. That's right. When my mama was dying, she was dying. And daddy and my brothers and my sister went, and all the family went to Paul Funeral Home to do the funeral arrangements. And do you know that while they were supposed to be going up there, I got a call to go do a funeral for somebody's mother that was the same age as me, and the boys were the same age as me. And so I was preaching a funeral for somebody's mother while they were making arrangements for my mother's funeral, which she died the next week. And I'm telling you, I could hardly stand it. It was just, it was awful. But I went and did that funeral, you know, and then my mama, a few months before, had open heart surgery, and I was going to go spend a week with her and watch over her. Well, while I was, the first night I got there, somebody in my church, their husband had a heart attack, and he was at Rex Hospital. I didn't think he was going to make it. So I left my mama and went to Rex, you know, for their daddy, you know. So again, but God, again, God calls us to compassion. Also, we're called to conflict. I know that's not sounding good, but God calls you to take a stand for truth and righteousness in the midst of wrong. And those who choose to live godly lives in the midst of worldly values will be criticized and persecuted. Everyone who lives godly in Christ will be persecuted. That word persecuted means to be chased. And you're going to be chased down. Satan does not like you. How many understand that? Satan does not like you. And he'll use the weakest link in the chain to get you. And if that's somebody in your family, or if that's somebody, you know, he's used my family members a many a time, and it hurts when he uses my family members. But, oh yeah, and things in the past. Oh yeah, yeah. All right, here it says, indeed, all who delight in piety and are determined to live a devoted and godly life in Jesus Christ will be met with persecution, will be made to suffer because of their religious stand. Now, we're called to Christ's likeness. God designs refining fires that cleanse your character and conforms you to Christ. You can accept your fiery trials when you accept God's purifying purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. I had somebody, and I've told this many a time, but I had somebody, they asked me, where was God when my son died? And I didn't have an answer immediately. I went and prayed. And I come back and they said, can you tell me where God was when my son died? And I said, yeah, the same place he was when his son died. On the throne, in control. That's right. And so when we're going through things, we don't like it. There's been just this last week, there's been people in my family that have tried their best to cause as much difficulty as they can absolutely cause. And especially somebody that does not even know the Bible. I'm not even sure if they've even read the cover. And because they know a couple of preachers down the road, all of a sudden they're an expert in what's going on in world affairs with the Bible and with Christ. And I've had some people in my family even tell me, I'm telling them the Bible, and they go, you have no idea what you're talking about. And I'm going, excuse me, I don't know the Bible, and you do, and you can't even, I mean, absolutely knows nothing about the Bible. And so I just leave them alone. Just leave them alone and know that Christ is making me and you in his image. And then we're called to conquer. Now this is awesome right here, because God allows Satan to tempt you and attack you just as he did Christ, in order that you can stand against the enemy and live out your victorious position in Christ. Jesus defeated Satan, and you are more than a conqueror in him. Now, say we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. But if you've never fought a battle, you're not a conqueror. If you've never been done wrong, you're not, and come through it, you're not a conqueror. If you've never been done wrong and come through it, then you're not a conqueror. A conqueror is somebody who has been through the battle and has won. And so, again, sometimes there's been times where I get around some of my family, I just suck it up. I sit there and listen, and I just suck it up, and say, okay, because I know I'm not going to win. I'll let it go. Yeah, I'll let it go. Because God will come back around and talk to them, and eventually they're going to come back to me and say they're sorry, or come back and say, what was that? Oh, I let it go. You got to let it go. I have bit my tongue a many a time with some of my family members, because not all Lentons, but some Lentons are hard-headed. And my mama had three average children and one exceptional child. I'm picking. I pick on my brothers and sister all the time, and they pick back. We go at it all the time. Uh-huh. Oh, it was. I remember. It was just, I mean, you'd think she was staying at some fancy resort. It was a cancer center. But I walked in her room and they had taken her towel and made a goose out of it. Yeah, she had a goose. Her towel was shaped like a goose. And she invited me to supper one night, and I got in there, and a church brought in the supper, and we had supper. I mean, it was just awesome. Yep. You had something every night, and it was awesome. Oh, it was awesome. That whole place was awesome. And they had entertainment, and it was just awesome. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was an awesome place. Yeah, it's amazing how when you're going through something that you can have some peace like that. And there was a lot. Yeah, there was a lot of peace in that place. A lot of peace. Never heard that. I never heard poor, pitiful me. Everything was awesome. That's awesome. Well, let's get ready to close in prayer. Who wants to close us in prayer? Somebody volunteer. All right, go ahead, sister. Thank you.